These chips got some zip.
I'm going to talk about your chips.
Well, here's what I was thinking. I'm getting nervous. I feel like my heat tolerance is fading.
Oh, good. That amuses me.
No.
Why, are those hot for you?
Like, not, like, uncomfortably so, but, like, it's lingering.
Well, you know. It's all right. Is that a thing apples have aged?
Is it? That's terrifying.
I don't think so. I've never heard of that.
I love spicy food. I want to eat it forever.
Well, you can't do anything forever, Ash Guy. Someday you're going to die.
I want to do it for the rest of my life.
No. Welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for, April 22nd, 2016. I had no idea what day it was. So welcome to the show, this is Mike.
Here's Earth Day. Happy Earth Day.
Hey, happy Earth Day. That's the anniversary of Animal Kingdom opening then.
A lot of stuff was supposed to open today, but didn't. Yeah,
well, mostly just that Rivers of Light show. But 1998, that opened. So wow, that park is 18 years old.
You can vote.
You can vote. It's funny that that park was like the new parks. It's still to me. It's like, that's the brand new thing park. It's 18 years old. Freaking Epcot was like 17 when that park opened.
Wow.
Think about that.
Wow.
Think about that.
That's weird. Right? That's a weird observation.
Because, like, to be like Epcot, like, that was like, that park still, like, you know, started before I was born. Like, old Epcot stuff. Like, man, that's funny how stupid and old that is.
Yeah, even in 98. I mean, that's when Test Track opened. So you think back to old Epcot.
Oh, yeah. So, okay. So, yeah, we're old.
Anyway, we're all old, dying, and can't eat spicy food.
Yes, exactly. That's the theme of today's show. It's very awesome.
You know what else is old and dying?
Look
at that!
There you go.
Oh, what a segue.
Yeah, so Microsoft announced that they're ending production on the Xbox 360. About had a 10-year kind of run there. I think the system fell off a lot sooner than people thought it would once the Xbox One came out.
I remember everyone was like, why are they even launching new consoles? The 360 is doing so well. This is dumb. And it's like, you know, the Xbox One and PS4 come out and sell like gangbusters. It was like, oh.
Right. So, yeah, people were kind of ready to move. I mean, it had a long, pretty long cycle there. You know, God, the first Xbox was really just 4 years. People kind of forget how short
quick that came and went.
So Xbox 360 was 2005, and then, you know, basically replaced in 2013. So,
Eight years to itself, a 10-year run. That's Sony style right there.
It's a long run, yeah. So, so we'll kind of talk about memories of the system a little bit before we get into the special zone and just talk about whatever else we want to. So, I definitely think it's pretty easy to say that was probably the best system of that generation.
For sure. Yeah, the 360... It's like a sophomore effort. It was a really impressive piece of hardware. Because I think what was impressive about the 360 is how well it adapted to a lot of changes that happened in that 8-year time period.
More so than other lot of systems, it like definitely evolved a lot.
Yeah, remember the original Blade dashboard that launched with the system? So it's so archaic when you think about it. But
yeah, I mean, it's like the first time where it's like we had these software updates.
In the lifetime of the 360, we had software, UI updates.
Sure.
I mean, the entire downloadable game market was basically created.
Right, well, that's kind of like, yeah, I mean, you know, the thing.
Remember
like,
when Xbox Live arcade games were required to be under 20 megabytes?
Right. And yeah, it's funny, like, so many things kind of happened along with the system, like Xbox Live arcade, and that was like, one of my favorite things about the system, mm-hmm. I think. But yeah, just a very different system. And it's funny, too, when I think about the Xbox 360, it probably was my favorite of those three. Even though its exclusives, by and large, did nothing for me. Or not didn't mean that much to me. I don't really like Halo that much. Mm-hmm. Gears of War is fine. I like Gears of War, but...
You're never like a Forza guy.
No, I wasn't really a Forza guy. So yeah, like a lot of the exclusives didn't really mean much to me.
Well, and what the reason that became the Call of Duty console is because its online features were so robust compared to PlayStation.
It was the first system where like the feature set almost became more important, especially because there was like games were coming out for PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 at this time. Even though like PlayStation 3 had exclusives I probably cared more about, just with Uncharted and Metal Gear Solid 4 and stuff like that. That's weird. Metal Gear Solid 4 didn't come out on the Xbox 360. Mm-hmm. Weird stuff like that. But yeah, so like what is your favorite Xbox 360 game?
Probably have to go with Mass Effect 2.
Yeah.
I figured, I know was cross-platform and all that. If you had to twist my arm and say an exclusive, it kind of goes between the original Gears and Halo Reach.
Yeah, original Gears was definitely, like, that was, of that generation, that was, like, the first really big super wow one for me. Like, wow, look how good this looks. This mm-hmm. is incredible.
I guess I should probably have said Skyrim. I'm going to change my Mass Effect to Skyrim.
I can't believe that.
Well, it's become a PC game to me so much in the last 3 years.
Like, for me, like, the two I think of, and again, not exclusives, Red Dead Redemption. Mm-hmm. God, I love that. And Bioshock, which was a console exclusive for a bit.
Yeah, it was a timed exclusive. That's right. Oh, I forgot about that.
Right. But, I mean, and
so is Oblivion, for that matter, yeah, too.
Interesting thing about, oh my God, that is the my favorite case. I mean, yeah, you get it a little bit with Bioshock and Bioshock Infinite, but with Oblivion and Skyrim, just like the difference between one console generation.
Yeah, like that beginning and end.
That's ridiculous.
Like, to see where it could go.
Right. But Bioshock, I remember Bioshock, because it was pretty early on, and it was still back when we were downloading demos for games a lot.
Remember, yeah, it was an exclusive. Ken Levine was on, Spike TV or something to announce the Bioshock demo was out right now. Go download it, like, a month early. Right. Everyone freaked out.
Right. But yeah, I just remember that demo just like super.
That was actually the month we started Exploding Barrel.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. We're talking about the Bioshock demo. Oh my God. But yeah, so those games kind of specifically. But yeah, and really the big thing it had over PlayStation 3 was just that its online network was a lot better. Groups were very easy to do. Joining a friend's game, very easy to do, seeing your friends online, you know, and it had stuff that Sony would catch up on, like achievements and stuff like that. And at the time, achievements were like...
Oh, yeah. I mean, they invented achievements. That's in everything now.
Right. And it's
everything. Almost,
right.
Do.
And, like, at the time, everyone loved achievements. Mm-hmm. God.
That was a huge deal.
Like, you would rent a game just because it had easy achievements to get. Like, oh,
honestly, I might go on record and say that is the most, not the best necessarily, but probably the most substantive influence the 360 had on gaming as a whole.
Maybe. I would say maybe the digital game store.
No, I mean, we'd had that on PC. It just brought it to the console space. That's something they invented wholesale.
I guess so. So I was saying favorite games, but when I think really a lot of my favorite games were the digital games.
The Xbox Live Arcade
right.
titles.
And the kind of the one that still always jumps out to me was Braid. And that kind of really that kind of started that era where before a while, they were either old arcade games or they were just arcade style games like Geometry Wars. And that was, you know, what the thing was named after. And that was kind of the idea of it. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, Xbox Live Arcade, we can just play these old games. And then people, the indie developers got involved, like, we're just going to release our little games on here.
Mm-hmm.
And so many things happened from that. The digital game market went up and the indie game market just blew up.
Yeah, that's really when that came to
right,
its own. Right,
because all of a sudden, you had a platform. Like, oh, I can release my game on the Xbox 360.
Because before, you were just, putting your game on your website.
Right. Download this. It runs on Flash.
Yeah, that too.
Stuff like that. Yeah, now it's like, this game's on the Xbox 360, and you can download it.
Got achievements.
And look, Microsoft's going to promote it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, so it was a very... these are, cool games, and... You know,
remember how much fun the Summer of Arcade promo was for that 3 years they did it? That was great.
Oh, yeah, stuff like Trials HD, Bionic Commando
Rearmed. Geometry Wars 2, remember? When that came out, everyone was playing it, and it was like, it's the last time I've had a great leaderboard competition with people. Like, we just had a blast with that.
That reminds me, the system's first year was basically filled with a lot of okay games, but not great ones, and everybody would be playing the same thing. So first off, the launch. Let's kind of talk about that mm-hmm. a little bit, because they positioned Perfect Dark Zero as their next Halo, that game.
But instead, we also were just playing Call of Duty 2.
Right, and it was like, oh, people like Call of Duty 2, and then that kind of begot other things. Obviously,
yeah, that went its own way.
Right, it's funny how even it's like everywhere you look, there's something history defining happening here. Even Call of Duty 2 launching with the system with its online multiplayer and stuff. But yeah, Perfect Dark Zero not really taking off. Then you had Cameo, which was like a fun platformer game.
Oh,
but again,
Cameo.
Yeah, I know you do. But again, it didn't really take off.
No.
And then just...
But just remember the other big thing that everyone was downloading, at least the demo, was NBA Live and NBA 2K.
Just to see the sweat. Right. So then you had... And then you forget, Capcom was kind of on... They were, like, ahead of it for
a bit
there.
We had Dead Rising.
Just for the fact that they had Dead Rising and Lost Planet in that first year.
Oh, yeah, Lost Planet.
And again, those two games probably got played a lot more than they maybe would have just because they were early. Like, they were there. Mm-hmm. And they were, like, pretty, you know, they're decent, fun games.
Yeah.
But, was, again, that's kind of the example of, like, people, like, everyone's like, all right, let's play this now. Let's play that now. It wasn't really until, like, you know.
In March is when you got Oblivion.
We had Oblivion.
I think that was the first really, truly substantive, like... Yeah, nothing beats that moment you first came out of the sewers and saw the world before you. You're like, whoa.
The interesting thing was that, unlike this generation, I was still playing PlayStation 2 a lot then.
Mm-hmm.
PlayStation 3 wasn't even out yet, because Kingdom Hearts 2 came out that right when Oblivion came out, and later that year was Final Fantasy 12. I was playing a lot of PlayStation 2 still.
Uh-huh.
That didn't happen this time. Everyone moved on pretty quickly. But yeah, so then not long after that, you had Gears of War come out, and then Bioshock, and then, you know, things really started ramping up. You know, Grand Theft Auto 4 at some point. Mm-hmm. That's another one, really. Grand Theft Auto 4, Grand Theft Auto 5, stuff like that. So,
Also, I think until the Elite controller, the best controller ever made.
Yeah, I think so. It was
you can pick apart the D-pad, I guess, but
a little bit. But it worked pretty fine. But the cool thing about the arcade was like just kind of games being released with that you never really thought you would play again. Like they would release like. The Turtles in Time was on there, the Turtles arcade game, and they put Marvel vs. Capcom 2. I'm like, whoa! And, like, Street Fighter 2 HD and weird stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. Good place for old-school fighting games to play again.
And again, a lot of these, like, really neat original things, like Castle Crasher. And they kind of brought genres back. Like, Castle Crashers brought up that beat-em-up back. Braid and, like, Limbo, a bunch of other things brought back the 2D platformer in a really cool way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of get people a bit more of a platform to experiment. So, where do you kind of put the Xbox 360, like, with everything that's been there?
Well,
is it, like, one of the best of all time?
I think it's in the top three. Along with the Super Nintendo and the PlayStation 2.
Yeah, I can see that argument. I might have some favorites. Like, I just like the GameCube a lot, which is, like, a personal thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the Dreamcast. Like, those were around for years, but I love it. But I can see arguments for everything except PlayStation 2 and Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
I won't take that. Yeah. But, yeah. But
depending... The way it beats PlayStation 2, it depends on your taste. PlayStation 2... A lot of its strongest games were very Japanese.
Sure. Well, that was just like...
And if that's not your thing, you know, then 360 maybe usurps it. But I still think the Super Nintendo is the best system ever.
A lot of that, too, was just the kind of changing times. But there was a lot of not... I mean, PlayStation 2 had a lot of, like, you know, you had your Naughty Dog games and your Insomniac games and stuff like that.
Sure. I do feel like the 360, though, is where we really got the big...
Well, that's kind of the shift happened,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the regional shift from east to west.
And I think a lot of that was Call of Duty and stuff like that, and it was kind of starting with Halo.
You know, we finally had a Western games console.
Right, right.
That was a top dog.
Yeah, no, exactly. That, you know, development for it was kind of a progression of, you know, stuff with DirectX and all that, so people were kind of a bit more comfortable with it than, say, developing for the PlayStation 3.
The cell processor.
How funny is it that,
Remember when your toaster oven was going to have a cell processor in it?
Oh my god. How funny is it that, that system also with a 20 GB hard drive.
Was that the biggest?
Yeah. That was the Pro. No, it was Pro and Core. Core was nothing.
Wow, 20? That was the Pro?
Yeah. Right? And then the Core didn't have one. Like, maybe you won't need one. You can use a USB stick.
No, that didn't even come till later. I mean, literally, it just had enough flash memory for game saves. Because, again, there was no concept of downloading console games.
That's so weird.
I remember, like, they had the ability to copy your games to the hard drive to speed up loading times. I mean, keep in mind, fully downloadable retail games didn't come to the 360 until pretty late in its life. I think a lot of that had to do with licensing and marketing agreements. You know, obviously now they're all up there so you can get the backwards compatible versions. But it's just funny to think how that entire gamer mindset grew in the span of one console.
Right. Yeah, that's just interesting. I think it also kind of had a good start because it kind of jumped off or kind of like took advantage of the PlayStation 3's follies.
Oh, sure. We should talk about too about like all the weird little things, some that worked, some that didn't. I mean, obviously we got Kinect.
Yeah, well, Kinect was brilliant in a kind of a way to re-energize it towards the end of its life when people were kind of...
It didn't have the lasting appeal, but it was definitely a handy band-aid for the last couple of years.
Right, and I think the problem with it was that they were never... It was like a neat idea that never really quite worked enough, and that when Kinect, it was time for Kinect 2, it wasn't the as big improvement as it should have been.
Well, and it could have been the best thing ever, but I think people just, like, they decided we don't need to be dancing around in front of a camera.
Right, that's kind of the ultimate thing. Is mm-hmm. that all right?
But also, I think it evolved to a much better place on the One, but I think Smart Glass was a pretty interesting endeavor on their part.
Yeah.
The big thing about it, that it was so platform agnostic, that it ran on iPhones, Androids, like, it wasn't just a Windows Phone thing, which was very smart. And I mean, again, this is something else they started when they added that background download feature where you could go to Xbox.com, buy a game, it'll start downloading, and it's ready by the time you get home.
One thing I'm kind of surprised that they did and never really did much more of with was that 1 versus 100 thing.
Yeah, it sounds like that was just really expensive.
Yeah, it was like, fun.
Yeah, it was super cool. It was a neat concept. I think it just didn't justify the cost.
That's too bad.
Yeah, because that was really neat.
So why do you think, and you know, this was like, obviously the Wii sold better for mm-hmm. a while, but again, towards the end when the Wii was kind of falling off, Microsoft was the market leader for maybe the only time.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of weird for its big, it seemed pretty solid in that place. Why do you think it kind of lost that spot to Sony, despite having an advantage?
I think their messaging before the Xbox One launch was awful.
It's funny how it's just exactly like what happened with Sony and PlayStation 3.
I literally blame it all on Don Matrick. I really do. I think he totally screwed the pooch and then left the company, which kind of sucks for everyone who's there now.
Right.
I think that's a large part of it. I think the PS4 kind of wins the design competition because it is a little more nicer. Svelte. And the DualShock 4 controller is a great controller, which I think, when you put your hands on both of them the first time, you might give the edge to the DualShock. I think once you have an Elite controller,
right, the Elite kind of helps there.
Which isn't a fair thing to say because it is a $150 mm-hmm. add-on.
Right.
But, I mean, even I prefer the analog placement of the Xbox controllers in general, so that's why I've always liked it.
Yeah,
better.
I can switch back and forth. I'm good with all of them except for, like, the weird Wii U Pro that puts the right analog stick up.
And I think Sony's marketing did a good job of kind of hiding behind Microsoft's bad press.
Sure.
Like, you know, everyone's like, Microsoft sucks, and Sony's like, yeah, we're just gonna let you just, you know, if you want to loan a game to a friend, loan it to your friend, and like, okay, everyone's cheering, and they're like, you're gonna have to buy PlayStation Plus for multiplayer, but like, everyone was too busy cheering say that.
It was incredibly
well orchestrated.
Right, and it was bizarre from the company that brought you PlayStation 3 launch, right? Yeah.
They pivoted really hard on that.
It's always, it's interesting that people can screw that kind of stuff up. But it's always, it's not hard to see why Microsoft maybe thought, like, did the things it did, because with the 360, they're like, well, it was successful here, digital games and stuff like that. Oh, yeah, that's the future.
Yeah, they kind of went too far didn't think of the consumer.
Well, I mean, it is interesting, because, I mean, even now, we're, you know, almost 3 years later, I don't think people are ready for the things that Xbox One was trying to do.
And a lot of it, again, you tell me I'm an idiot for thinking like this, but I feel like if you tried to really analyze what they were promising, and if they actually did that, it would have been sweet.
Family share thing.
Like, yeah, all that stuff. They just did such a bad job explaining it. Like, there were so many interviews with Microsoft people after E3, and they're like, well, like, can you clarify how this will work? And they're like, we're not ready to talk about that at this time. It's like, we need this now. I think
the other bizarre thing, it was just kind of bad timing, was the focus on TV and it's like right when cord cutting is happening, they're like, oh, by the way, you can like plug in your cable straight to the Xbox One. Everyone's like, you have a Netflix app, who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
And also, like, why are you putting so much like time into this? Like, half of their presentations will be like, look, you can watch ESPN. It's like, who cares?
Yeah.
But it is interesting. It'll be interesting to see if they ever kind of get back to that sort of market leader position again.
I don't think it happens with the Xbox One, but I think whatever comes next,
the Xbox Two. Wouldn't it be funny if they just call it the fourth Xbox, the Xbox
but
Two?
But they spell
it
TOO. Well, let's take a quick little transition. What do you think of all this PlayStation 4 Neo stuff?
It's weird because the idea, or at least the rumor, is that it's not like there will be PlayStation Neo-only games.
Yeah, it's not like the new 3DS. It is like the new 3DS in that. So here's the gist. The supposedly PlayStation 4 Neo have like a slightly more powerful processor, double the graphics capability, and better RAM, and more of it's like unlocked for developers. Basically, though, like, everything still has to work on the original PlayStation.
Right, because they
don't want to... it's just a different... It's just, think of it like a video card upgrade. Now you can either get a better frame rate, get a higher resolution, or turn on some effects.
And can you... You don't have to buy a complete new system, do you?
No, you do.
Okay, you do.
So, a lot of people are hoping that they do... What always happens when a new 3DS comes out. Trade in your PS4 and get, like, $200 of credit to go towards your PS Neo or whatever. It doesn't feel like this is what you do when you're winning.
That's the weird thing about it. This almost seems like something Microsoft should be doing.
And they've said, Phil Spencer said, I don't want to do an Xbox 1.5. We're doing something. We're doing the next system.
That's what's weird about it is, yeah, it almost seems like an unnecessary move in some ways. And again, it's like...
Well, here's the only thing I could justify with Sony is a big company who also is making 4K televisions.
Yeah.
And they want you to buy that 4K TV or have content for your 4K TV. So if all of a sudden you could play Uncharted 4 in 4K if you buy this new thing.
I mean, part of me is almost like, oh, well, that's cool because, you know, it kind of sucks that games on my PC look a million times better than games on these systems.
Yeah, I do think there's an argument to be made that these systems were underpowered from the word go.
I think that's the problem, is that they weren't really as powerful as maybe they should have been.
Yeah, because, I mean, the cycle that, I mean, I personally always followed, it always kind of leapfrogged. Like, I'd have my gaming PC, and the new consoles would come out, and they would go way beyond what my PC could realistically do, and they did it easier. And then after 5 years, well, now I'd upgrade my PC, and it kept going like that. But these consoles, when they came out, still couldn't match, like, your a gamer's PC rig.
Right. Yeah, it was kind of... But yeah, Sony right now, they have such a big install base, and maybe the thinking is, well, we can make some money by making people buy a second PlayStation.
But are people ready to buy a second? I know everyone's like, oh, we do it with our phones. It's like... But, like, no one goes to the Apple store and plunks down $700 cash for a phone. You have some kind of installment plan or whatever.
I guess the one argument is that there maybe isn't a whole lot of risk here. I mean, what's the worst thing that could happen, I guess? I mean, nobody's
going to... Yeah, I mean, I don't know how expensive the R&D and manufacturing of it is. I guess. that's your risk.
Sure.
I don't buy Jeff...
Jeff Grubb's kind of argument is that this is like an evolution of like the old SKU advancement where you would have the larger hard drive.
I don't buy that argument at all because the bigger hard drive didn't change the functionality of the individual games. Like, the game was still the game. You just had more room to have more on it. This is, like... Are you going to really go to the people who bought your PS4 day one, full price, what was it, $400, and now be like, oh, too bad your games don't look as good as this, but don't worry, you can still play it.
Yeah.
Doesn't look as good. Like, that's not a great message. And maybe they're onto something. Maybe this is what you do now. So now instead of like 8 years between consoles, every 4 years, we get a half refresh. I mean, we've had console redesigns.
Yeah.
So like... And we've bought those. Like, we have a PS2 Slim. This isn't completely out of the ordinary. It just feels... That was the security blanket of console gaming.
They just kind
of...
Every that was like
PS4
the point.
Was the same. The shape might change. The power usage might change.
It's too bad we can't... It's not like with the back when they were on cartridges where you could just put, like, a chip in the cartridge.
Right, right.
All right, or the fucking... We need a Nintendo 64 RAM pack.
Yeah, put that in the
And I guess,
Xbox,
you know, and that's kind
and
of...
And it sounds like that's what Microsoft wants to do. Like, they've talked about expanding the powers of the Xbox, but it sounds like it's through some sort of add-on that maybe does, like, add more RAM
to the system. I thought the cloud was supposed to solve all this shit.
Well, that's to be seen when a crackdown happens.
Oh, God. So, yeah, it's just kind of... It's like, part of me sees, like, the advantage of the other part of me is like...
Let me ask you,
I almost don't want to go down this road of consoles.
PS4 Neo comes out this fall, $450. And you could trade in your PS4 for $200 credit. So it's $250. Again, the price of a graphics card to ensure that Uncharted 4 runs at 60 frames per second, 1080p on your TV right now.
Here's kind of my weird thing against it, and I'm kind of looking to the right now to all... I like put up all my old systems. This is kind of weird to me because it's like, there's the original NES, and that one I bought, but like... There's my original Super Nintendo, my original Nintendo 64. It's just like my PlayStation 4 that I had for 3 years, I'm going to trade it in.
Yep.
I get not to be like super sad, but I'm a little attached to it. It looks
okay, well, if you were going to trade it in, like, what if I just told you not to trade it in? You can somehow...
But now it still becomes irrelevant. It still becomes irrelevant. That doesn't matter if I get the new one. It's the same thing. Whether I actually give it to somebody else or not, it's replaced.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's weird to me. I feel like I'll probably end up doing it.
I probably will too, let's be honest. But my hang up is I primarily do play my games on Xbox One because I do still prefer their UI and online experience to the Sony's. And I'm not ready to start switching all my third. Again, a lot of it is because two of our good friends only have an Xbox. Well, no, three, because Chris sold his PlayStation
4. I would definitely need to see, like, some videos, like, here's what Uncharted 4 looks like on the PlayStation 4 Neo.
Right, and, like, how do you sell that? Are people, like, do the dude bros who played Madden and Call of Duty, are they going to care?
It's going to be interesting. Do you think there's any chance that this is a response to they know something about Nintendo's next system that we don't? And they don't want to be outdone by Nintendo?
I highly doubt that.
Okay. All right. Anything else you want to talk about? Special Zone? I've been playing the new Star Fox.
Yeah, I was going to say, speaking of Nintendo's new system, this seems like the game that should have launched with the system to be like, here's what you do with the controller. So, I mean, timing aside, does it justify the gamepad?
Well, no. It does interesting things with it. And I like it a lot more than some people seem to.
Yeah, Polygon, when they just didn't post a review because they couldn't be bothered to finish it, didn't you say, like, you could beat it in, like, three hours?
It's like Star Fox 64. It's like the whole point. It's like you kind of play through it multiple times. You, like, you go back to levels, you find the secret pass and stuff like that. There's different, like, routes. So, yeah, it's weird to not just play through it once and actually write a real review. I think they're trying to make a statement. Like, yeah, but, like, some people are just that averse to it. Like, they just don't like it at all. And a lot of it just comes down to the sort of aiming, essentially, where you fly with the left analog stick. With the right analog stick, it's like maneuvers, so like
barrel rolls,
or like loops, or like ship, you know, just tilting your ship. And then you tilt the gamepad to aim. And that's either on all the time or only while you're firing. So it's going to be on somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
And my initial reaction was, oh, this is weird, so I just turned it on while I was firing. But I just felt like I was, like, struggling. So when I just turn it on all the time, I kind of got used to it. And by the end of it, I was fine with it. I think there's a difficulty, like a learning curve with it for sure. But I don't know. I wasn't as adverse to it. I mean, it gets a little annoying because you're essentially now juggling three analog sticks in a way. Right.
Which I almost feel like, I just had this in my head. I almost wonder if, like, it would have been easier to grok if left stick flies, right stick aims, like any other game, and it's the gyro controls that do the maneuvers.
Maybe, yeah, maybe, but
because think about it, you're like, oh shit, pull up, and you do a loop.
I mean, that's kind of the thing too, is that in the other games, it was just, you know, controlling ship and your cursor was the same thing. And that kind of worked fine.
It worked totally fine. I mean, that's how most ships work.
Right, so, but again, I mean, it is kind of nice, like, you're flying to the right, but you can aim at something to your left, and, you know, I got it. I thought that the screen set was actually pretty neat, how the main screen is, like, a traditional view, and the gamepad is, like, the cockpit, so you would kind of go between them depending on the situation. Like, if you're maneuvering, you would want to look at the screen. If you're trying to aim something specific, you look at the cockpit. I kind of thought that was neat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it blew my mind, but just besides that, really, what I think why I kind of liked the game, maybe gave it a little leeway, is because it was like a new, like
Star Fox,
new like well-made Star Fox. And by well-made, I mean, you know, it looked like a modern game.
Is there any kind of like co-op element?
Yeah, it's like one person can control a laser. And
is that? I feel like that could be kind of cool.
Maybe, but you know, it's just it looks nice and it's just kind of neat. Like, oh, Peppy's saying things, and yeah, I don't know. The start of the first level is just like really neat. Like, you'll start in your formation, like each one blasts off. You're like skimming the water, and then you blast off. It's like the music's great. It's a lot of the old music, but just like sounds super nice now. It's done really well. So I don't know. Like, there's definitely a little nostalgia there, but I don't know. I had fun with it. I didn't go for Star Fox Guard as much. That's like their tower defense game. Yeah. It was kind of neat, but it was just like, all right,
whatever.
But yeah, I don't know. I kind of liked it. As a $60 game, maybe it's a little hard because again, it is a little short. I guess that's one of the nice things about Guard coming with it. It's like, but I don't know. I think people are being maybe a little hard on it, but again, I kind of do have a bit of a like nostalgia sort of like glee with it that maybe other people don't feel as much. This poor series, though, man, because I can tell you the reviews are going to be indicative of how the general public reacts to it. This isn't going to be a smash hit. And that series just hasn't had, like, agreed upon, like, great games in Star Fox 64.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the interesting thing is that this does what Star Fox 64 did, where it's just basically a reboot of the first game again.
Mm-hmm.
I said this one, like, just also is, like, a lot of elements from Star Fox 64 specifically.
Well, I mean, I think part of why Star Fox 64 is so great is it took, like, you know, the admittedly for its time cool graphics of the original Star Fox, but it took it to, like, this full, vibrant 3D world. Mm-hmm. I feel like you're going to need some kind of bigger leap than, yeah, kind of look through a controller and moving around to, like, you know, there needs to be a next evolution of Star Fox that's a little more impressive.
Well, they try to do things, and they just nothing really sticks. Yeah. That's kind of thing, like,
but like the gyrocopter that you talk about in review. Like again, that's...
Well, not even just that, but just like in the other games, you had Star Fox Assault. Like, okay, you're on the ground now. Oh, everyone hates that. Star Fox Adventures was a goddamn Zelda game.
Mm-hmm.
Star Fox Assault had, like, the weird, like, tactics thing.
I mean, how have they not done... I know why it's Nintendo, but, like, imagine four-player online co-op in Star Fox.
Man, yeah.
I mean, it's right there.
Right.
That'd be great.
Yeah, it'd be more interesting. So, I don't know. I don't know what you do with Star Fox going forward. All right. Anything else, or is that about
it? Like the Jungle Book?
Yeah, I love the Jungle Book. It's great. Everyone should see it.
Yeah, King Louie is amazing.
Yeah, it's a pretty...
He's I think, the best CG character ever made.
Yeah. I wouldn't disagree. All right, next we'll send you the Explain Bro podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. And, you know, go to the iTunes store. And doesn't Android have...
The Google Play Music or whatever it's called. We're on there, too, now.
All right.
So if you have an Android phone and haven't used another podcast app by now, we're on there.
All right, we'll go check us out on there. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. You can... find us
you
again.
Said that again. You said it.
Thanks for listening.
We're in time. Bye.